Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank all our listening audience that's listening to us at www.livedeliverance.com. I'm off today. We have a program in the natural mind versus the mind of Christ. Let's get into it for the next 55 minutes. God bless. Shalom. See you tomorrow.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Father, we thank you for the word. And Father, we would give you all honor, all glory. Lord, your words say where there are two or more gathered today in your name, you are there in the midst. Where two or more gathered in my name, therefore then I am in the midst of thee. You are here. We take authority over Satan. We bind every spirit that wish to try to block this word. Lord, your word say in Mark 4:15, as soon as the word is sown, Satan come immediately. Now, Lord, I thank you for giving me a revelation. Lord, you said in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I loose this prayer to heaven. I loose it to you. And I bind all celestial spirits in the first and second realm that would hinder this prayer. I loose it to you, Jesus. I have the authority to loose this prayer and send it to you. And I have the authority to block spirits because you say in my name you shall cast out devils. I have that authority only through your name. I take authority over Satan now in the name of Jesus that he will not hinder this word that will go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is stopping you from trusting in the Lord? God has given me 7 points here. It could be many other ones that we can talk about, but this is what he's given me and how to stop this madness. Because a lot of people don't know how to trust in the Lord. They hear it. They hear sermons and pastors minister sermons on that. But they don't show people what's stopping them from trusting in God. We're going to start with number one. No favor of the Lord. Going against leadership. If you're in a church and you're going up against the leadership that God has established in that church, bucking, kicking, rebelling, determined to do it your way, you're going up against that. Now, I ask y'all out of love, if you can, hear me before you write. Because what's going to happen is when I minister to you, you're not going to hear me because you're going to be so busy concentrating. And that's a way the devil can steal this word from you. The scripture says, as soon as this word, he'll steal it. He see that you want the information. But while you're writing, you can't hear me. Impossible. You're concentrating on writing, and I'm giving a message, and he's stealing it instantly. So to help you, we're going to stay on one accord, okay? I want you to write this down first, and I'll wait. Then I'll explain it, and then I want you to write the next one down. Can we do that? Amen? Because I want everybody's total attention to this. So I want you to write down, one, no favor of the Lord, going against leadership. And the scripture for that is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30, and Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. We won't deal with the rest. Let me explain this first. Because if you start writing, the Holy Spirit said they ain't going to hear you. They're going to be concentrating on that, and then you can't, you hear not hearing it. So let's do it in decency and order. Amen? Can I get an amen for that? All right. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30, it says here, strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Let me read this again. Proverbs 3:30. Strive not with a man without cause. So if you have a pastor in leadership sharing something with you and you tangling with him, you are tangling with him with no cause because that's an issue that you don't want to deal with. And you're trying to make his issue yours. And yet he's getting the information from the Lord, giving it to you, and in return you are angry because there's some sin in your life. There are some areas that the Holy Spirit has turned a light on and revealing it to you, and you don't want it to be seen. So because you can't see God, but you can see the minister. The minister gets hit with that. So don't do that. That will stop you from having favor of the Lord, because God has people in position. And now I see that this thing, when you tithe, there's more than receiving blessings than just tithing. You have to cover every other area in your life to receive prosperity. So the first thing God has shown me, don't come up against authority with that crazy bucking, man. Because what you are doing is going up against the man of God that God has put over you. Now, if you are able to hear God, then you don't need to be there. You need to have your own ministry. But because his job is to develop you, his job is to give you the word and leave it be. That's it. Don't go against him. Let him do his job easily. Because if you do this, you ain't going to have favor of God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, it says, trust in the Lord. It says, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God and man. So the man on earth is representing God. So when you go up against him, who are you going up against? The Lord. So you're fighting God. And who fought God? What angel was trying to fight an angel? What man trying to fight an angel? Jacob. Wrestling. And you're a wrestler of God, and God is not going to be tangling with you. So that's one thing that can hinder you from trusting in the Lord, is when he give you a message or a word of knowledge, receive it. Care to the Lord. Test all things. There's ways that you can do it without tangling with the man. The Bible says test the spirits. The Bible says test all things. The Bible says out the mouth of two or three should every word be established, 2 Corinthians 13:1. So there are ways to do it in decency and order. But when you get out of order, it's impossible that you can trust God, because you're becoming God's enemy. Number two, this is another thing that's hindering people from trusting in the Lord. Write this down. Looking at what you see in the natural. Ooh, Lord have mercy. That will really mess you up. The scriptures that we're going to give you are 2 Corinthians 5:7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:7, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Looking at what you see in the natural. Now, I'm going to show you how this stops you from trusting in God. The natural does not represent anything of the spirit man at all. It is not connected to the Holy Spirit. The natural man is an identity that refers to the soul. And when the soul get involved, who do you think is following the soul? Let me get some answers for somebody. What's operating with the soul? The mind. The mind is natural. And when that thing trying to impute something to you, when it start registering, you finna get messed up. Because the mind is opposite of the Holy Spirit. The flesh lusts against the what? And the spirit lusts against the flesh. So the natural represents the what? The flesh. That's you trying to figure something out. That's you trying to get an interpretation. That's you trying to think it out. That's you looking at the bill. Then that's you worrying. Then that's you going back, Lord, could you answer that prayer again? You know, Lord, please work it out, okay? And then next 20 minutes, you back at the Lord. Lord, can you please work it out? That's no faith. And what's causing that is the spirit is irritating you. The devil know he's irritating you. And what he's doing is allowing demons to come around you to get you to cipher it out or go to the palm shop or make you do something that God has not told you what to do. For example, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's look what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. Okay. Now, when you see 2 Corinthians 5:7, the word says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Sight is connected to the brain, which is connected with the mind. So when you start looking at stuff, it's opposite of faith. I'll give you an example. You need examples to understand this. 5 years ago, God told me, "You're going to be a pastor, huh?" I'm sitting here trying to get a trumpet to get the fellowship of faith. He said, "I call you to be a pastor." Huh? I didn't understand it. But once I was able to walk in faith, realize it, I said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to, if you call me to be a pastor, I got to hear it from Wang C. Thompson." I was like Dowden Thomas because I didn't want, most pastors who are called by God don't want it. But if you see people who want to be a pastor and I'm called to be, and they smile at it, they ain't gonna never going to go nowhere. Because God can't use them. God has to mold a person to his image. So what happened was when he told me you're going to be a pastor, I said, "Lord, confirm it." I had to use my faith, okay, and say, "Okay, well, since you called me to be a pastor, I got to do my part." There's things that I had to do to become a pastor. Then he said, "You're going to get on the radio ministry." He didn't say anything before that. He said, "The name of the church will be Fellowship of Deliverance International Ministries." Now, if I would have allowed the enemy to make me think, what is Brother Blackman going to say about me? Are they going to say? I didn't do any of that. I went in faith. So to look in the natural is to not figure anything out when you look in the natural. Don't figure it out, because if you start operating in that, you're going to drop seeds of evil in your life. And it's going to distort you from trusting in God. I command you to stay on and don't flick off no more. Now, you know you won't. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," see, if the outward man is perishing by faith, why are you believing in the outward man? You see how the enemy has tricked you? If the outward man is perishing, why are you comfortable in operating with that type of ideology? Because you really deep down in your heart don't see the spirit man, and you're used to doing things your way in this natural. Borrowing money. It was me hustling, find a way to get money, find a way to gack it. Let's go get some money. We're just break our law to get this paper. And what the devil wants you to do is to format in your mind how to get this done without God's assistance. So here the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You won't depend on the inner man. That's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will lead you into understanding what you are trying to get. So, there's a battle within you. Doubt, skepticism, unbelief. That's the flesh. So you have to do something to override that. You have to put more word in you and pull up out your spirit to deal with this when the devil brings it to your flesh. I didn't say your spirit. What did I say? Your flesh. And what's part of your flesh? Your mind, your eyes, your emotions. That's soulish. And you have to recondition yourself for 20, 30 years, you've been conditioned to do it in the natural all your life. Now, you read the Bible and you get saved and it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy understanding. You have to be taught that. Where it is, some people on Sundays, they're teaching trust in the Lord. Okay, but you got to give them the signs what's affecting them and what is preventing them from trusting in the Lord. And the sign that he gave me is going against leadership, hindering the spirit, not having favor of God, walking on sight, and trusting in your natural abilities. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So when the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you something, you won't listen to it because it's strange to you. Because you haven't been walking that long in the Holy Ghost. Half of you just received the power of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues recently. Prior to that, when you was in a dead church, the Holy Spirit was snuffed out. Holy Spirit wasn't there. No more signs and wonders was there. So what you had was a good dose of theology, which is rationalization. So to overcome that, you have to get the spirit man within you to grow so that you won't look at these circumstances. And what will happen is the devil will test you. He'll send somebody across. Well, what you going, a child, and then he gets you to start talking about it. He gets you to start meditating on it. And if you got the wrong people around you, they're going to sink you. That's why I'm very cautious of who's around me. I don't want nobody shooting no doubt and unbelief around me. So you got to guard yourself from that. And here it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness. So if the Holy Spirit is trying to give you a revelation on trusting in the God, you're not going to understand it if you're walking in the flesh because it's foolishness to you. So I hope that you can see yourself today. I hope that you're able to see why you can't trust God. Because some of you who say you're spiritual are not. Because you can't operate in the spirit long enough to wait on the manifestation. You go back to the natural doubt, unbelief. Then you start worrying. And then what happens is your worrying stops you from trusting, stops you from searching God, and that thing will eat you out. Now, how many people have been through that? Raise your hand. And that thing will eat you out. And what it's designed to do is to choke the word out of you. You have an undeveloped spirit. Now, can I tell you what can get you free from that? A lot of suffering. But see, now you don't want to do that because that requires pain. You have to suffer in order to have patience. So if you don't go through the suffering process, it is impossible for you to come out of this. That's why God makes you suffer. That's why he puts you in trials and tribulations, so your flesh won't trip you up. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7 says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. F-A-L-L. So because you're not doing those things, you are unable to trust in God. That's why you don't have success. Trials and tribulations will prevent you and help you. It will help flex your spiritual muscles. Golly, Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 is where it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Watch this. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, understand, we are talking about what is stopping you from trusting in the Lord. Watch this. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. How many people rejoice when they're in temptation? They don't. Do you know why? Your spirit man is not developed to understand why God wants you to develop and why God wants you to rejoice. You know why? Because the natural mind is telling you, no, I can't rejoice with that. So you are receiving things from the natural instead of things from the spirit, and that's blocking you from trusting in the Lord. Because God wants you to go to that scenario for you to learn off of it, not to punish you. But because if you have been spoiled, you want your pie, you want your apple. God showed me how some Christians are in the spirit realm. Watch this. It's all stuck. Here you go. Put that in your mouth. Won't go through nothing. Won't go through no trials. Just cry to God. And you'll never develop. He keep giving you some, and he keep giving you some, and he keep giving you some. Well, when are you going to be able to get out those diapers and strap on a lion's belt and walk? You won't. But because you don't want God to chasten you, it is impossible for you to trust in God. Chasing sounds negative to you. Chasing is uncomfortable for the flesh, but it's beneficial for the spirit. So when you go through these temptations and these trials, it will be a doorway for you to do what? Trust in the Lord. But when you hear trials, that's suffering, that's something you don't want. Don't nobody want to hear that part. And guess what? You'll never grow. That's why it's very few people walking in the anointing. Very few. You don't want the trials. Everybody wants things to be right all the time. I don't like trials. But the Bible says that I must rejoice, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Why does he want you to rejoice? Because if you can rejoice in that trial, he's establishing you to trust him. Because you know that the outcome, he says in Hebrews 13:8, that Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same Christ Jesus who was with Apostle Paul, with Apostle Peter, with Bartholomew, with Andrew, with Philip, John, he's the same Jesus with you. If he can take Peter out of a jail cell and take an angel and rip the cell out, he can do you. But you won't think about that while you're going through the trials. You don't even think about those people because you're self-centered. Selfishness. So some people come to Christ because what Christ can offer them. Some people come to Christ because they want to get out of their situation, and it's a good way to get free from them problems, but they don't ever last. That the trial of your faith bringeth much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When he appear in your spirit for that manifestation, you will be able to trust the Lord. But because of that, that's why you can't trust him. The next one. information coming from the carnal thinking that this here is deep. So what else is hindering us from trusting in the Lord? The carnal mind. Now let me show you what I mean by this carnal mind. If you turn to first to Romans 8:6, Romans 8:6. In Romans 8:6 it says, I go up to 8:6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death. Now watch this. Your mind is not dead because you're alive. What he's talking about is you thinking in the natural with that thing. It's death to the Spirit of God. Because the minute you start thinking, the Holy Spirit can't get your attention because you're locked in with that mind. You and that mind got a good thing going on. Y'all got a soul tie together. And you have to release that mind-soul tie. I got a revelation out of it. It's a mind-soul tie. You have to release that mind-soul tie of you reasoning, you thinking, you rationalize, you're used to doing it. You have a soul tie with your mind. You have a soul tie with your mind. Your mind is so tied to you where you will rationalize it. You'll try to figure it out instead of waiting on the Holy Spirit. You'll reason it. And you can't get the answer, so you'll go to deeper realms instead of waiting on the Holy Spirit because you have a mind-soul tie. For to be carnally minded is death. It's dead. It won't go nowhere. And you're still in it. And the mind is not going to stop you from you and him working together. He wants a relationship with you because he's carnal. Then it says, but to be spiritually minded is life. Now, let me say something. I'm going to get something straight. There's a teaching going around here, running around, talking about you can read the word, and your mind change. Your natural mind will never change. It's going to stay wicked. It's carnal. If it can change like that, then why Jesus died on the cross? Jesus said, just say a word and you'll be healed in your mind. You got born-again spirit-filled Christians with the Holy Ghost still having problems with their mind. So that's trying to show you that thing is a different entity. There's no way the mind of Christ is through the Holy Spirit, not through your natural mind. Your natural mind is not going to get compact down with the Word of God where it's going to change. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Your mind is carnal. If you allow that type of philosophy to come in your spirit, you will not depend on the Holy Ghost. You go back to mind trying to compact it with the Word. It's the spirit that grows, not your mind. When Jesus dealt with the devil, he dealt with him in the spirit. It is written. Your spirit is what's alive, not your mind. God is not going to use your mind to help him in the kingdom of God. He's not going to do it. In that case, show me instances where Jesus did it in something in his mind in the Bible. Not one you can show me. You cannot show me not one instance where Jesus Christ operated in his mind. Why is it that God wouldn't put that in there? Because God knows if you would have got that, you would have ran with it. And you would have tried to operate in it. He didn't do that nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere did Jesus operate like that. So what's going on here is that these thoughts that you have are contrary to the Holy Spirit, which is preventing you from trusting in the Lord. Let's look at Psalms 119, verse 113. Let me show you what you're talking about. Psalms 119. Verse 113, the book of Psalms. And the Bible says here, I hate vain thoughts. God hates them. Now watch this. Can I ask you a question? If God hates vain thoughts, do you think he needs you to use that mind to pack the word in and think that that's going to work if you hate vain thoughts? You can't cast out your mind. You'll die. God wants you to believe in the Holy Ghost, not your mind. Your mind can't pack the word. That's false. The Lord told me, don't you know. I don't know why you got on me with that. I must let it slip or whatever. He's been checking me with that. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals all things to you, not your mind. You ain't going to suppress your mind and compact your mind to think like Christ. It's not. It's carnal. It will never think like Christ. Why? It comes from who? Adam and Eve. Fallen who? People. They fail. What makes your mind not going to fail? Because you got the word in it? No. It's carnal. It can be untamed. You can't live in it. You cannot live in it. You have to obey the Holy Spirit. It's an entity different from your mind. Now, what can you do to prevent all this crazy vain thoughts? Well, if you still stay to Psalms 119, shift right over to Psalms 119:97. This is make it be in condition. You can conditionalize it to meditate. Now watch this. The mind is so messed up that you got to do this all day. See? All day. So is that messed up? It takes all day just to try to neutralize it. All day. That's in the Bible. I didn't write that. It's in Psalms 119:97. Everybody read it loud. Real loud to the devil. Ready? Oh, how love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It didn't say half the day. Now watch. Oh, thank you. Oh. It didn't say Steelers time and Falcons. All day Falcons. Touchdown! That ain't meditating. That's not meditating all day. Tiger Woods! Dude, we Christians. We are supposed to be Christians. Well, God wants to give you time to rest. God give you time to enjoy yourself. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all that day. I don't think if you meditating on the word, it's impossible you can watch that. Now, if you can find someone to wiggle out of it and wiggle spirits, let me know. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. All the day. That's messed up. So what happens is when you don't meditate all day and put the word in your spirit, so when this mess starts coming to you, something's got to block it. Then you are able to implement 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5 because of Psalms 119:97. 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5 says, cast down all imaginations that exceed itself above the knowledge of God. But if the imaginations are stronger than the word in you, you ain't going to be able to cast them down. Impossible. Now, let's move on to the next step that can stop you from trusting the Lord, the spirit of fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear. Let me show you how that works. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's make that 1 Timothy. Second Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay? He didn't give you no spirit of fear. When you're operating in fear, You're letting everything come on you at the same time simultaneously, and you can't shut it off. Oh, I'm going to get my bills paid. How am I going to get this done? My lights got to get paid. And then you start panicking. Then you start hyperventilating. And then you start getting nervous. And then you start grabbing a cigarette. Then you start grabbing a thing of liquor. And then you start grabbing this. Then you start eating. Then you say, take a nippy nap. And you're finding all these ways to dodge this spirit. Can't dodge it. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, making wrong decisions, being hurt, panicking, because this spirit brings torment. And if you're in torment, there's no way you can trust God if you're in pain. Let me cut you on your leg. You'll feel it. You won't be able to pay attention to what I'm saying. I cut you. Let me, take big bumper here and pop that knee. I don't think that you're going to be able to pay attention to what I'm saying, because the spirit of fear brings torment, and it is impossible if you're in torment to trust God. See, I hear people say, trust the Lord. The Lord told me, son, they just saying it. Break it down to them. I can't get no more simple. 1 John 4:18, turn to it. You know, I really think that ministers, when they minister the gospel, and I'm not trying to judge no minister, but ministers need to give people meat, man. Ain't no way I can come up here and just start shooting some stuff out and say amen. I like to do things right. I want to give you sound doctrine so you have something to feast on. 1 Timothy 4:18. Everybody read this out loud. Everybody, I want you to read it with me. Ready? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear had torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, and there's no way you're going to be able to trust God. Impossible. How many of you agree to me? Raise your hand. You can't. And this is preventing people from trusting in the Lord. Fear. How they going to get their bills paid? Fear. Looking at their circumstances. Fear. Not being able to see beyond tomorrow. Fear. Living on paycheck after paycheck. The Lord says, you trust in me. Don't trust in your paycheck. Don't trust in tomorrow. But people don't trust in tomorrow. They can't trust in God, because they got to have something in their eyesight. We don't walk on sight. That job will be here today and gone tomorrow. You still got to trust God. Lack of diligence of meditation of God's word. You won't meditate on his word. Crazy vain thoughts. Psalms 26:4. They get worse and worse, or just increase with that fear. That will prevent you from trusting in the Lord. Have some discipline about you. And don't let the devil put all these thoughts. How you going to get this paid? How I'm going to get that paid? Stop murmuring. The Lord don't want you to murmur. He wants you to trust in him. God may want you to go through that. Have you ever thought he's trying to use that to purge you? Everybody talking about, get me out. Get me out. They won't trust God. You get lit by a first plant. God can't use nothing like that. He's trying to get you to another level where you can show representation of him. You get one bite. I'm about to die. Wimps. Babies. Cowards. Yellow bellies. Blue apple booties. Crazy. And yet you say you trust in God. Never heard that before in your life. Old Navy term. That's a fearful sailor. Yeah. He's fearful. Fear. And God may want you to go through that. He may be holding that blessing up to get you through a trial. He may be holding that blessing up to give you the assurance of Christ Jesus so that you can have something to give somebody else and have a testimony. How are you going to tell somebody about trusting the Lord when you don't have a testimony? So you got to put you through something to trust them. So what you going to tell somebody if you don't have any experience in trusting the Lord? You can't relate to them. So God will put you through experiences so that you can relate to people. If you go tell somebody about trusting in God and you've never been through anything, I don't even want to hear what you got to say because it's hypocritical to me. It ain't real. But we're going to Africa. Let's look at Proverbs 26:4. Thank you. Psalms 26:4. Now here's another thing that can mess you up. Not the mind, but these type of people. This here can mess you up with the wrong folks. I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with what? That will mess you up. You want to explain that?
Dissemblers are people that will sit there and basically act like they agree with you, act like as if they agree with you, act as if you all both believe the same doctrine, but they don't. They basically disbelieve what you're saying, and they're just putting on two faces for you.
And you sitting there listening to that stuff, and you buy it. I'm with you, brother. I understand. They don't understand nothing because they're praying and they don't go through it. I mean, really, they praying that they don't go through it. Yeah, I understand, brother. I'm with you. They're going to say, please, Jesus, don't let me go through that. And they just keep bagging up like a crab. And each time you bag up, you can't be used by God. You see, it just showed me. People want to be, Christians look at Christ and glorify it. This is done to glorify the suffer. And you got everybody calling themselves bishops, because it sound good. This is the go to the first trial. He crying like a baby. So if you're with the wrong people, it can stop you from trusting in the Lord. If it's good, give Jesus a clap. That's the Lord. And if they give him praise and glory, it ain't me. I'm just an errand boy. All I am. Okay, let's look at this here. Worrying in the natural, in the flesh. Now that when the devil really gets you, worrying. Let's see what Jesus says about worrying. See, worrying is the opposite of trusting in God. It's a lack of faith. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read 6:25. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. You ain't even supposed to worry about that. Do you even worry about going to McDonald's and filling that stomach and get a belly call? God going to take care of the stomach. Nor your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Matthew 6:26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they weep not, neither do they weep, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? God is showing you, you are better than an animal of a lower species because you are created in the image of God, not the animal. And God is taking care of the animal, and he's not even created in an image. But you don't remember any of that when you're going through your trial. It's like you get blocked out. And if you're getting blocked out, that means that you are not a mature Christian. Because a mature Christian, Apostle Paul, he didn't blink out. Look, Apostle Paul, he did not blink out. Paul kept on going. Because Paul knew his salvation. You don't know your salvation that you have in you. You have forgotten your exodus from the world. Instantly, when you go through a trial, it's like all your Christianity is gone. God put a Christian to a trial today, it's gone. The devil said, trial, oh, high five, ain't going to make it, baby. Oh, come on. They bawling because they know you ain't going to go through it. They have seen you, your failure over and over and over and over and over. You need to prove them wrong, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, that I can trust in the Lord, that I have the ability to stand, according to Psalm 37:4, and wait and not move and put my trust in you, whether it's a storm, whether the wind is blowing, I can care what I'm going through, I know that he's my deliverer. And why take thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is here and tomorrow is cast into the oven, oh, how shall not much more he clothe you? O ye of little faith. Do you know why you don't trust God? Little faith. That means you're not reading the Bible. Romans 14:26 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You're not reading the word. You're not meditating. You're not praying in the spirit. You're in the flesh. You're probably watching too much of Judge Judy. How can we stop this madness? How many people want to stop this right now? Raise your hand. How many people want to stop going through this same old motion over and over and over? How many really want to stop it? Let me show you what God showed me. Okay? Turn to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1.
Yes, sir, Reverend Skillet.
First thing God showed me is he got to get that rebellion out of you. That donkey, that jackass. Here that donkey come kicking everything. Pow, boom, pow. Give me my way. He got to shut you down from wanting your way all the time. Come on out of her. Blow it out. Blow it out. Blow it out. Come on out of her. Come on out. Blow it out. Come on out. Out. Get out of her. That's the first thing he got to do, is just shut that down. And how he does it? Let's see how he does it. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, it says, woe to the what? Rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel, but what? Not of me. That means that you operate in your flesh, in your mind, in your thinking, in your reading. You're a flesh walker. Because it's not of him, because you are manifesting the things that the carnal mind says is the enemy against God. And that cover with the covering. And that cover with the covering. But not of my spirit. You are distant away from him because you are operating in the flesh, in the senses, in your soul, in the reasoning, in you trying to understand, in you trying to figure out. When you operate in that type of manifestation of that area of your walk, you are far from the Spirit of God. That they may add sin to sin. You're going to add more sin to sin because you're in the flesh. You're adding more sin to your situation. Because the mind cannot produce faith. Reasoning will get you to start thinking one way. You be in the palm shop and you done sold something God told you not to do. I needed that $150. The Lord told me, called him. God has told me to call him more than once. Call him. Didn't I pay you back? Have I not paid you back? So God gave me an avenue. You may have to go through a brother. You have to go where God tell you to go. But if you're going to rationalize it and get in fear and start running to the palm shop and start running tricks, running tricks, women that single, can you hear me on the internet radio? Going out for a date? Won't say the rest. To pay a bill is not God. Oh, yes, I got to go there. To compromise your body for a couple of $100. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. You are doing things without God's permission. to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. You see, Egypt had so many idols. That's why God used Egypt. They had so many idol gods. You have them too. So whatever idol that you are idolizing within you, you'll grab that before you go to God. That prevents you from trusting in him. What idol? I got Brother Joe Flicker. I can call him. I got this person. No. It won't work like that. Therefore, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. See, when you trust in your flesh, in your ability to do something, it's going to be shameful in the income because you're going to lose. Pharaoh lost when he tried to challenge God because Pharaoh did everything in the flesh to keep the children of Israel down. His chariots, his armies, his soothsayers, all these people he tried to use to keep the chosen people of God down, and it didn't happen. So God doesn't want you to operate like that. That can prevent you so that you can trust God. And that trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. See, when you trust in yourself and your ability to do something on your own through your natural mind, you're going to bring confusion. I guarantee you. There's going to be some confusion. Because where the Spirit of God is, there's no liberty. Christ has a liberty in his spirit. When God's spirit, when the liberty of God is... Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's your mind. Now go back to Isaiah 30, verse 5. They were all ashamed of the people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Verse 6, the burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from where come the young and old lion, the viper, and the fiery flying serpent, those are demons. So what you do is when you start operating under the areas of the flesh through your mind, you open up the door to demons. When you see the word old lion, vipers, and flying serpents, those are spirits. Because without the Holy Spirit is what? What's the opposite of the Holy Spirit? Flesh. Demons crawl with flesh. So they get you to think this stuff out, get you to reason this stuff out. And you're so away from God. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to come to him, trust him, ask him to give you a trial, make it harder for you so you can get tough to wait on him. See, y'all not tough because you ain't going through no trials. I hate to say that. You haven't been through no trials. That's why you can't stand. That's why you're not able to endure hardness. So that's how come you don't know how to trust God. I hate to say it like that. It's coming straight from heaven, man. It's out the hot press. Oh, boy, gee. So therefore, you are hindering your own self because you say, okay, come on, let me carry you through this fire. Now pull back. You don't want to go through that. So? When it's time for you to trust him, you ain't went through nothing, that's why you're in your condition. They will carry the inches upon the shoulders of the asses and their treasures upon the branches of the camel to the people that shall not profit them. Watch this. For the Egyptians shall, what? Help in vain. And to know what? Purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to what? Sit still. If you be still. God can show you how to trust him. Last but not least, get on the operating table. Let him cut you today. Let him send you through some trials that you will be able to withstand the test so that you can trust God, so that you won't have to operate under cursing your leadership. So you won't have to operate in the natural, looking at the natural things, so that you don't have to deal with the carnal thinking of your thoughts, take control of that by the Holy Spirit, so that you won't have to operate in fear and making wrong decisions because of you panicking and allowing the spirit of torment to torment you, so that you can meditate on his word to alleviate all the fiery darts of the enemy, so that your thoughts can be like the mind of Christ.
This is Derek Prince with a word for you from the Word. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Those are words of very practical wisdom. There's a proverb in the Latin language. If I quote it to you in Latin, probably most of you wouldn't understand, but it's very brief. It says, bis dat quaecito dat, which means, he gives twice who gives quickly. What wisdom there is in that. When a person is in need, and you have the ability to supply that need, and the person is worthy of your help, don't hesitate, don't wait, don't hold back. If you give quickly, it's like giving twice. If you keep them waiting and frustrate them, then your gift will not really be blessed the way it should be blessed. So don't withhold that which is good from those who deserve it. Don't say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow, when you have it with you. There's a kind of stinginess. There's a kind of lack of total honesty there, which somehow spoils the act of giving. Remember that. He gives twice who gives quickly. Next time you have the opportunity to give, don't hold back. Don't hesitate. Don't do a lot of mental calculation. Just respond to the need of your neighbor and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Give without hesitation. Give without any reservation. Just give freely. Because as you give, God will give back to you.
You can make your contributions to www.lifedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand corner. Please sow a seed to us to help us with our legal fees. www.livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand corner of our PayPal site. God bless you and thank you. Okay, we're going to get ready and open the lines up. Okay, Reverend Bill Moe. Chaplain John Durden, can you hear me? Chaplain John Durden. Chaplain John Durden. Hello, Chaplain John Durden. Chaplain John Durden. We have a technical problem.